Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19. Jesus was speaking to his disciples. We all know that. We all know it. I'm going to do a little bit of reviewing because we haven't really talked much about each one, reach one lately. So I'm just going to review some of the scriptures that we shared before. I'm going to go through them fairly quick so that I don't use up all of my time. So the Great Commission, Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he said, "All power has been given to me in heaven and in earth." All power has been given to me in heaven and in earth. And then in verse 19, he tells his disciples, "Go and make disciples." That's our instruction. He's talking to his disciples. I just quoted Acts 1, verse 8. "And when you receive the Holy Ghost, you will receive power." We've talked about that scripture before. We've broken down that word. That word is dunamis, which is the power to be a witness, the anointing to be a witness, the anointing to be a miracle worker. That's the literal meaning of it, to be a witness and to proclaim. What is proclaim? To tell it like it is, to tell the good news, right? Mark 16 and 15. We all know it, but we're going to go over it. Mark 16 and 15. Jesus is talking to his disciples again, and he's saying, "You go into all the world and preach the gospel." Into all the world. He's not saying go to the church and preach the gospel. He's saying go to the world and preach the gospel. Go to the world and preach the gospel. Mark 16, 15. To proclaim is another word for preach. To be a witness, to make known to every human being. Literal translation. I'm a disciple. You're a disciple. Jesus was talking to his disciples, giving instructions. You go into all the world, not the church, and preach the gospel. The people in the church should have gotten the gospel, most of them, right? Most of them, all right? And so it's so critical that we don't let this go dormant. It's so critical that we keep this alive. It's so critical that we set our sights on, bless God, this is the year that I will reach someone. This is the year. We started this in January, and I don't want this to go dormant. I don't want us to go to sleep on this. It's so critical that we don't. Amen? You know, we're not here just to exist. So easy when you're asleep, when you have a slumbering spirit, and that's the issue with the church in general. Sorry. With the church in general, there's a slumbering spirit on the church. And so we hear the sermons, yeah, that's nice, and you go home and you live and exist. We're not here to exist. We're here to make a change. And there's some chapters in Genesis, and I've quoted this before. And it lists a whole bunch of the people that lived. And the Bible says, and they lived, and they had children, and they died. And they lived, and they had sons and daughters, and they died. And they lived, and they had sons and daughters, and they died. And so many. And they lived, and they had sons and daughters, and they had died. Is that what you want on your epitaph? I decided when I was a young Christian, if I'm going to be a Christian, I'm going to make an impact. I'm not here, and I didn't know we were supposed to preach the gospel. I just thought, God, help me. I want to make an impact. I want to make an impact. The day that I got the news, within hours, within minutes of hearing that my son was killed by a drunk driver, I said, Satan, you've just messed with the wrong mother. You're going to pay for this. And I will not quit until I leave this planet. We are here not to exist. We are here to make a difference. We are here to preach the gospel. We are here to be witnesses. We have the power. We have the power. We have the power. It is on the inside of us. If you believe it, you will walk it out. If you believe it. Do you believe you have power? Do you believe you have power to lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover? As long as you're passive, me too. I'm talking to myself. I'm not trying to point fingers. We, I should say. As long as we're passive and we just say, yeah, that was a nice sermonette. Have a good week. See you Sunday. As long as we're like that, that's what our epitaph will be. She lived, she had son and daughter, and she died. want that. I don't believe any of you guys do. I don't believe it for 1 minute. We're not here to exist. We're here to preach the gospel to every human being. And I broke down that word preach before. It is not necessarily taking the pulpit and standing on the street or even standing on the pulpit. It is being a witness and getting those divine connections that God will put into your life. We don't have to manufacture it. We can help it, but we don't have to manufacture it. And sometimes we feel so inadequate that, you know, like we don't know what to do. But it's like we've spoken about this for off and on for months now. Each one, reach one. One, and keep your faith on it, and keep your faith on it, and keep believing for it and not letting go. In Psalms 27:13, I'm just going to read it to you. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. What he was saying is, I would have given up if I didn't believe. I would have given up if I didn't believe. We must believe that we have power. We must believe that we are to be witnesses. We must believe that we have got a job to do. We must believe that God does not expect us just to exist. We got to do better than that. We got to reach our community. We got to take our city. We have to take our city. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. And then once we have our city, we'll move on. Amen? So it's important. What I believe, I will walk out. If I believe it, I will walk it out. We all do. If I believe it. James, we all know that Jesus is coming. Everybody's waiting on it. Everybody's waiting on it. You know, like I was with one of my sisters yesterday. And it's like, oh, Jesus, please come. Jesus, please come. And I shared the story of the 10 virgins with her. And she said, I said, 5 were wise, 5 were not wise, 5 were foolish. The wise had oil and extra oil, which was the Holy Spirit. And the others, they were the bride. They were all the bride of Christ. But they ran out of oil, and they had to go get oil. And then in the meantime, the bridegroom came, and he let the 5 wise virgins in and closed the door. Well, then the other foolish virgins, I never knew you. These are just born again, spirit-filled, the bride of Christ. So who's responsible to reach the lost? James 5, verse 7 says, the husband is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. The precious fruit of the earth is the lost. He's waiting, and he has long patience for it. And he will let a country go to severe corruption before he judges it. We've talked about Ezekiel 22:30 before. He describes the condition of that land at the time, Jerusalem at the time. And he was addressing the prophet, the priest, the prince, and the people. And they were severely corrupt. I think we could say we're there. They were severely corrupt. But God was looking for one man to make a difference, to stand in the gap so that he wouldn't have to destroy the land. One person could have taken that city, could have stood in the gap, built up the wall, stand in the gap, and changed that city for eternity. But he found none, and he had to destroy that city. It's pretty serious. So Mark 16 and 15, he said, you go into the world, not into the church, and preach the gospel. The church is to feed the sheep that are sheep. But we are to go into the world and reach the lost. It's our responsibility. We can't just exist. We can't just live day to day. You know, like morning, live, eat, breathe, go to work, you know, breakfast, work, supper, good night, right? Day in, day out, day in, day out. That's existing. We have to realize that we've got the power of God within us. We have power to heal the sick. We have power to raise the dead. We have power. It's on the inside of us. It's in us because the Holy Spirit dwells in us. He lives in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells in us. We are the house of the Holy Spirit. That power is here. And if you will activate it and believe it, you will see it manifest. But if you don't believe it, you will lose heart. And I don't want us to be there. 2 Chronicles 7:14. We all know this. I'll read it to you. If my people that are called by my name, that's the church, will humble themselves. In the Old Testament, that was fasting, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. His people turn from their wicked ways. I will heal the land. I just quoted Ezekiel 22:30, and God called what they did wicked, and they were oppressing the poor. They were severely oppressing the poor. They were severely corrupt. And I mean, we're living in that day. We're living in that day. Most people don't care about the poor. They don't even think twice about the poor. It's all about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Work, eat, sleep. Work, eat, sleep. Work, and that's existing. We got to make a better life. We got to make our lives count. We got to do this. Amen? So, you know, we have been, like, how do we start? How do we start? We have been praying for the lost off and on since January. Off and on since January. What if we changed the spiritual atmosphere in this part of the neighborhood by what we prayed, and God delivered a family, Peter, Amelia, and Lori, to us? Because the spiritual environment was changed. What if? I don't know that for sure. But it wouldn't surprise me. When you've got a lost person running up to Michelle when she's loading up her car and saying, "Do you guys pray for people?" And she was able to, has been, and continued to be ministering to them and ministering to them and ministering to them. Well, what if God does that in my neighborhood? Well, what if God does that in your neighborhood? Well, what if God uses you or me to change the atmosphere in my neighborhood? Bible says that first, before you cast a devil out, you have to bind the strong man. You got to get rid of the strong man before you can set somebody free from demons. I don't know if any of you have done deliverance, but you got to bind the strong man before that person can get free of the demons. And it would be no difference in a city. Amen? I've quoted in the past Proverbs 3:29. Do not devise evil against your neighbor, for your neighbor dwells with you for safety's sake. He dwells with you for safety's sake. We have an assignment to protect our neighborhood. To protect our neighborhood and our neighbors. They are safe because we live there. I've encouraged each one of you, when you drive into your neighborhood, that you speak life to your neighborhood and say, "God, bring life to this neighborhood. Bring life to my neighborhood." How long does that take? You know, you may think, "Oh, we got to do something else." How long does that take? You're driving in. You know, you're just driving. "God, bring life to my neighborhood. Bring life to my neighborhood." And you push the button, you close the garage door, and it's over. But you've done it. Took seconds. God expects us to protect our neighbors. God expects us to protect our neighborhood. He does. He expects us to bring life to the neighborhood. We have the light in the darkness. We are the light in the darkness. We need to let our light so shine in the darkness. We have a responsibility not just to exist. Come home from work, shut the door, the day's over. I'm going to bed. That's existing. We don't want to just exist. We have to get God to wake this up in us. We're required to, he's waiting on us to take this city. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. And he has long patience. And for those of you that have been to the intercession classes with Brazil, I've broken that down very, very many times. And it's like, he'll wait, and he'll wait, and he'll wait. and he'll wait. But we can change it. Jesus is the head of the church, but he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. We are the body. The body has to do the work. If I cut my head off, my body can do nothing. If the body of Christ isn't activated, it does nothing. It's so critical that we don't just exist. So critical. In the Old Testament, there's so many examples of the gates into the city. The gates into the city. And it was to keep the people safe. They had high walls and they had gates. And it would keep the bad out, and or they could drive the bad out. Either way, you know, but it was so important to have gates. In St. Thomas, we have four main entrances. And after we've talked about this before. And like we need to be protecting those entrances. But we need to get rid of what's here. What's here that's corrupting us, that's stopping the gospel from spreading? We need to do that as well. So when Nehemiah, the children of Israel came to Nehemiah, and he asked them, how are my brothers? And they told him the news that Jerusalem, the walls were broken down, there were no gates in the city. And the Bible says he sat down and he wept. And he wept, and he prayed so many days, it doesn't tell us. And he waited and prayed until God gave him the answer as to what to do. And God gave him favor with the king, and he was able to rebuild the wall and put the gates around the city so that the people, his people, were safe. Well, why would it be any different for us? Why would it be any different for us? Deuteronomy 17:2, it says, if there be found among you within any of your gates, man or woman who is wicked in the sight of God, that man or woman that has done this wicked thing in your gates, stone them to death. That's serious. Stone them to death. That's how they dealt with evil. That's how they dealt with wickedness. Just stone them. Well, we can't do that today. But we've got the power. We've got the power. Luke 10:19 said, behold, Jesus talking to his disciples again. Behold, I give you power, which is authority, to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil. We've got the power. We've got the power. It's in us. We have the power. But if we don't believe it, we will lose heart. But if we believe it, we will walk it out. Amen? 2 Chronicles 23:19 says, set a gatekeeper at the gates of the house of the Lord so that no one unclean can enter therein. And that's the idea of protecting a city. That's the idea. Let's protect our city, right? So what stops? What stops it? What prevents God from moving in a city? What prevents God from moving in our city? Ezekiel 22:30, I quoted it before. I sought for a man. I sought for a man that would stand in the gap and build the wall so that I would not destroy it, but I found none. And I destroyed the land. God needs people that pray. God needs people that use their authority. He needs people that use their authority. And that's just it. Are we willing to stand in the gap for our city? Are we willing to stand in the gap for our city? You know, what can I do in my neighborhood? What can I do in my neighborhood? Diana and Daryl, you are right near the courthouse. What can you do to stop the corruption that goes on in the courthouse? I experienced firsthand what goes on with the corruption in the courthouse when my son was killed. There was division. There was strife. The cops were at odds. And the lawyer, the defense lawyer, had to be very, very deceitful. And the man that killed my son and left him laying there on the road to die, he got 8 months. He got 8 months. And part of that, I think, was house arrest. You know? And it's like, that's corruption. I mean, he hit him. The evidence was there. They found it. They found the evidence very quickly. The guy's truck was totally crashed in with Jason's DNA all over it. But the guy was not charged with murder. He got off, partially off. That's corruption. What about Diana? If you could change the spiritual atmosphere of the courthouse, you and Daryl, Vicky and Joseph, and even Chichi and Amarachi. I know that end of town, there's a lot of drug dealers going on, a lot of drug deals, a lot of overdoses, a lot of suicides. You know, we get some reports from Hannah because of what she's got access to right now. What if you could, by the power that's in you, the authority that you have, drive out initially the drug dealers out of the city? So and bind the spirit of suicide and bind the overdose and ask God to protect the people that are so desperate without hope. What if that's what you did in your neighborhood? What if? I mean, you guys had a murder in your neighborhood not that long ago. What if we can clean it up? Can we? You know, I've had my sights on the hospital for a long time. The abortions, the euthanasia. I've had my sights on the teachers, what they're doing to our children, the next generation. I've had my sights on the Masons who sacrifice children at the edge of town, which is the south end of town. Michelle's moving to that end of town before long. What if her and Laura and Hannah can take authority over what goes on at the entrance into that city? What if? We've got the power. It's in us. Can you believe it? Will you believe it? How does it come? By faith. How does faith come? Mark 11:23-24. Have the faith of God and say to the mountain, and say, and say, and say. If you say it eventually, what you say, you will believe. I've got the power. I've got the power. I've got the power. What if your authority and your prayers, through your authority and prayers, God was able to bring the lost to you like he did here on the doorstep of the church once you change the spiritual environment? Like, we've been praying for the lost, but I've been wondering, studying this out, have we put the cart before the horse? Did we have to clean up the area that I live in first? And then God can bring someone to my doorstep and I can be the witness that God wants. What if? I think that's the way to do it. I think that's a good way to do it, right? Like Peter and Amelia just showing up, and there Michelle was there, right place, right time. But the spiritual climate is changing. Years ago, when we first purchased the house, the church, there was a lot of prayer that went on, and people would walk into the parking lot and say, "Oh my God, there's a presence here." We had nine 10-year-olds walking into the church one day and said, "Ooh, there's energy here," but it was the presence of God. They were able to identify it. People would walk down in the between the two buildings here, and they would say, "Wow, God is here." We haven't heard that for a while. And it's like, so there's a change happening in the presence and the atmosphere in this area. We're cleaning it up again. And what if we take that home to our neighborhood? What if? And clean up the area by taking authority and, you know, and saying, drug addicts, drug traffickers, I take authority over you and I command you to leave my city. Will it seem like it's going to happen? No, because we walk by faith, not by sight. It won't seem like it, it won't feel like it, but use your authority because God needs our authority. He needs our words. He needs us to release faith and then he can go to work. But without it, he can't. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, and he has long patience for it. Do we want to just exist? Or are we going to take this city? Are we going to take this city? I want you to see this scripture. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. We are ambassadors. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is an official of the highest rank who represents his government from his country, but goes to another country representing his government in a foreign country. That's an ambassador. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are representing Jesus Christ of Nazareth with power and with authority. We are from another world. We are from another country. We are in a foreign land, and we are assigned to do something in this land. He's given us power and authority to walk out his plan and his purposes in this nation, a foreign land to us. Heaven is our homeland. This is a foreign country. And we are ambassadors to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who's given us authority and power to preach the gospel. We are ambassadors. Get this. We are ambassadors. We represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. He's given us the power as an ambassador. You know, like if he didn't want this, as soon as we got born again, he would have taken us out, because that's our home. Heaven is our home. But he's left us here to be ambassadors, to preach the gospel to the lost. And he's patiently waiting for the fruit of the earth, and will continue to wait. If you believe, you'll walk it out. We're filled with power. We're called to preach. We're told to lay hands on the sick, cast out devils. We've been told that we have power and authority to tread upon serpents and all the power of the evil one. And we have been called to be ambassadors. We have been called to carry the gospel as ambassadors. We have authority and power. It is in us. When an ambassador goes to another nation, the king has given him power and authority to rule in behalf of his nation. And the King of Kings has given us that same power to rule here, and represent heaven here. Got it? What will it be? What will it be? Will you be an ambassador? Will you believe it? Will you make it work? Will you take your authority and stand your ground and drive out the enemy through the four gateways that enter our city? Will we do it? I'm not letting go until we do. So we got 15 minutes to pray. We are going to pray the Ephesians prayer. I'm reminded of what Dad Hagen did, because he was frustrated with the way his church was running, and so he went into prayer and he got out the Ephesians prayer. We know what they are, and he just kept saying to God, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of revelation, the Spirit of wisdom, and the full Scripture, and over and over and over and over. He just kept his Bible open to that. He had no open Bible in the house, and he kept it open. And every time, all day, throughout the day, he did this for 6 months. But in 6 months, the visions and the dreams started coming like no other. And he said to his wife, "What have I been preaching, my God?" God intervened, because he put his faith to the word of God, and he made it work for him. And God honored it. And so we're going to pray, God, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation as ambassadors, and give us the grace to do it. And then next week, or in 2 weeks, when we do our fast, we're going to spend a whole day praying just for that. I want this to take root in our hearts. I want this to become so real and alive in us. I'm here not just to exist. I'm here on assignment as an ambassador from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to establish God's kingdom in this earth with power and authority. And it's in us. And if we will believe it and take hold of it, we will walk it out. Amen. Hallelujah.